And I am just so thankful and so I'm just so blessed to be here. This is my first time ever to Lakewood, so I'm completely jealous of all of you that, amen. I'm born and raised in Florida, and that's where I am, and that's where my ministry is based out of. And so I just want to thank Sarah. I met Sarah first. She was the one that picked me up at the hotel and brought me over to have lunch with Jackie. So I want to thank Sarah for that. And also, Jackie, thank you for opening these doors and just the opportunity to minister to your heart tonight. And I know that I've got 30 quick minutes to get you out to another service, because we are all going to go to that other service tonight, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. A special speaker there as well. And so I've got 30 quick minutes to really share my heart with you. This is the book, Get Over Yourself. And I got to tell you that the reason why Get Over Yourself is so important, this is not meant as a slap in the face to anybody. These are the words that God actually spoke to me. Now, I don't know if there's any imperfect people here tonight. I've got to tell you, when I met Jackie, I've got to tell you that I came home from lunch, and the first thing that I said to my husband, he said, "How did it go?" And I said, "I'm a little out of my league, a little out of place." I said, "She's a very perfect woman in every way." And I said, "And I'm really hoping there's some imperfect people there tonight that I can talk to." Because in all honesty, I had been already come to know the Lord, and things just didn't instantaneously go poof perfect for me. Is anybody here in the room that, yeah. And so in all honesty, I want to share a little bit of the testimony, because you see Cinderella here on this cover. And the reason she's on that cover is that's what I was doing when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And you say, you were doing what? I was doing Disney. I was working for Disney. I was actually hired on by Disney to be Cinderella, Snow White, Mary Poppins, Belle, and Sleeping Beauty. That's what I did for a living. They paid me to do that. And it was actually a dream come true. And you know, you can really only say this in a room full of women, because, you know, men are just going to think it's just way too cheesy. But I can completely tell you that at the age of 7, I stood along the Walt Disney World parade route there in Disney World, and at Walt Disney World in Orlando. And being only about a couple hours from that area, my family would always go there as our vacation. And so it was one night. I don't know if you've ever seen the Main Street Electrical Parade, but a wonderful night parade. And we always stayed around to watch that parade. And Mom, myself, my sister, my brothers, and my father, we were all standing there watching that parade. And as Cinderella went by in her stagecoach, she looked out that right window, and I was standing right there. It was like I was the only one on parade route. Kind of like when pastor's preaching a message and you feel like you're the only one in church. That was me. I was standing right there, and she looked out the right window, and she waved. And when she waved, her eyes met mine, and we waved at each other, and she blew a little kiss. And I snapped a picture at the age of 7. I still have that picture today. And I looked up at my mom, and I said, "Mom, that's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be a princess." And I don't know if you've ever said anything and it felt like it just resonated in the heavens and somehow God heard you. God did. He heard me. But see, I think that looking back, what I saw was that I saw perfection. I saw a girl that had it all together on the outside. She looked like she had it all together on the inside. She had Prince Charming 5 feet away, ready to just bring her into this wonderful fantasy world. Isn't that what we all wish for? She had the evil stepsisters running after her carriage. And, you know, how many of you have ever had trouble with women? Can I just tell you real honestly? I thought that I'd get into church and that these women would have their shoulders back and their heads raised, and they'd know who they were in the Lord, and they would celebrate each other's gifts, and we would all be one for another. Can I tell you that there are more basket cases in church than out of church? Whoa, but I guess we're in the right place. And you hear, we. Did you hear that? We. I guess we're in the right place. And so I had always had such trouble for women. So I liked that idea of women, these evil stepsisters running after the coach trying to catch up with me. And what I saw too was a fairy godmother behind the coach that was ready to just poof my life different if anything messed up. So I think what she represented to me was perfection that you and I and every woman on the planet, we try to attain. And I've got to tell you that it really wasn't until I got to Disney, where it was at the age of 7 that I had that dream in my heart. And then it was about the age of 17 and 18 that I got hired by Disney. And I want to tell you that Disney should have been that magical place where everything came together in my life. But I can tell you honestly that something happened before the dream came true. Life happened. And somewhere from the age of 7, when I had these wonderful fairy tale dreams and my heart was full of what my life would look like one day, life happened. My father was diagnosed with cancer, and I watched the hero of my life literally battle cancer for about 2 years. And as he battled that disease, my heart was dying slowly with him. And when he left this planet in my freshman year, I can tell you that when he left this planet, so did part of my heart go with him. And I would love to tell you I did all the right things. I would love to tell you that I ran to God, that I got involved in youth group, and that I did all the right things, but I didn't. As a result, I started chasing things. I started chasing relationships. I started chasing perfection. I developed an eating disorder, trying to control something in my life. No perfect dress size was perfect enough for me. No relationship was right. Nothing was working. And I looked at that float and I said, man, if I could just get on top of that float, I know everything will come together. Can I tell you that I got up on top of that float and I looked around and I thought, dear God, this is it. Have you ever chased after something so hard that when you finally got there, you looked around and you thought, this is it? Marriage may have been that for you. Not me, baby. Not me. As my husband sits in the back. One of them. Not me. But we do, as women, we chase after things and we chase after stuff. And what happens is there's a gaping hole that somehow gets put there by life. By dreams that are crashed and shattered against the rocks of reality, that there are things in life that happen to us that disappoint us. And you know, it doesn't have to be major tragedies in life, it just has to be a tragedy to us. It could be something as simple as a best friend moving away and we don't have anybody to communicate with. It could be something very simple, or it could be that you're one in those three women that are abused sexually inside of your own home as a child. So either spectrum, there are things that leave holes in our hearts. And I can tell you that that's where I was. I was that girl that was looking for love in all the wrong places. I was a bulimic. I was ready to take my life. But here was the irony. By day, I would dress up like a perfect princess. And at night, I wanted to take my life. During the day, I would put on the costume and on the face, and I would be everything that everybody thought that I was. But when I looked in the mirror and everything else came off, I hated who I was in the mirror. You see, I know what it is more than anything. I'd love to tell you that I went to seminary and I figured out how to preach. You're going to figure out real quick, I don't know how to write a sermon to save my life. But what I do know how to do is to get into the Word of God and allow it to illuminate areas that need healing. Even areas that we don't even realize we need healing over. Like when God called me to women's ministry, and I said, you're kidding, right? I don't even like women. I don't like them. And I know that's probably not the best thing to say here at Lakewood Church, that on tape I'm going to regret later, but I didn't even like them. And you know what I didn't realize? It wasn't that I had trouble with women. It was that I had trouble with myself. I discovered that you cannot give away what you do not have. And I had such hatred for myself that anybody that came into my life was wrong. And that I was going to preach at them, but I wasn't going to like them. And I certainly wasn't going to love them. And then God gave me a girl. I have a 9-year-old boy and a 5-year-old little girl. And that little girl's name is Jordan. And my husband and I went from strangers to married in 8 very quick weeks. Like, hi, nice to meet you walking down an aisle in 8 weeks. That is definitely, if God's not in that, don't try that at home, okay? And he knows that. No, there's no cut there. He knows, and trust me, he was the one that needed prayer. God tricked me into marriage quickly because I had a lot of issues. You see, I loved the Lord with all of my heart, but I still had issues. Did you know that 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that we are spirit, we are soul, and we are body? When we come to know the Lord, we are reborn spiritually. But our soul needs constant scrutiny. It needs constant renewal. There were things in my life, and our bodies need to be brought under subjection. My spirit was right, but everything else in my life was wrong. My thoughts were out of line with the Word of God. There were so many things that needed healing and needed to be fixed. There were gaping wounds in my heart that needed to be cleaned out properly. See, I think that if you're anything like me, you've got some things in your life where you've learned to cope through it. But learning how to cope through something and learning how to deal with it truthfully is two entirely different things. Can I get an amen on that one? I learned to cope. I learned to suck it up, and I learned to be this tough woman that nothing bothered me. I remember sitting there when my father was dying, and I think that I can bring it back to that moment where I was sitting on a couch. I was sitting on the couch at the age of almost 14. I was on the phone with my friend, and we were laughing and joking and having fun. Dad was dying of cancer. I looked over, and while I'm about 20 feet away from my mom, who's in the kitchen stirring dinner that night, I was on the phone laughing, and she was there at the stove mixing dinner, and she was bawling her eyes out. It was in that moment that I knew it was not okay to feel. It is not okay to be happy when somebody else is hurting. It's not okay. And what I did was, like many of you, I found the switch to my emotions, and I flipped it off, and I said, okay, from this point on, I will not feel. From this point onward, I will walk through life, and I will cope with everything that it brings me. Until all of a sudden, I came to know the Lord. Let me tell you how Jesus meant, how really Jesus kind of stuck out his foot and let me know that he had been there all along, but I wasn't really, really, really ready to see or hear him. I was actually working in Tokyo Disneyland, at Tokyo Disneyland, there in Japan, and I had an 8-month entertainer's contract. They hired American girls to come over and be their princesses because they can't have a Japanese Cinderella and a Japanese Snow White. So they hire American girls to come on over and play those parts. And I got to tell you, it was there in a foreign country after being raised in church all of my life that right there I happened to be on cast that morning on January 14th of 94. I was there, and two little Baptist girls were on cast with me that morning, Kristen and Allie. Kristen was my Mary Poppins that day. I was Cinderella. And Allie was my Wendy and my Alice for the day. They told me when they came into work that Billy Graham was preaching at the Tokyo Dome and that I had to go. And I said, oh, I was raised in church. I don't need to go see a preacher. And they said, no, you do. So I went with them knowing that if I didn't go with them, I would just do something else that was just stupid. I would just go home and go through a bulimic fit or go looking for love in wrong places. And I wanted to change, but I didn't know how. And so I went with them, and I sat in the Tokyo Dome, and I don't know how many hundreds upon thousands of people are seated in that auditorium, but I listened to Billy Graham give that message, and I heard him talk about a God I didn't know. I heard him talk about a Jesus who gave his life, knowing just who I was right there in that moment, and he gave himself for me anyways, not before I got cleaned up, but right there, right now. And right then, I looked over at Allie and Kristen, and I said, I think I need to go down there. And I walked down flights and flights of stairs so that somebody in my own language could lead me to the Lord. I had to find a post in the ground that said English so that somebody in my own language in a foreign country, after being raised in church all of my life, could lead me to the Lord. Now tell me that God doesn't have your number. Tell me that God doesn't know that precise time that you're ready and that you're listening. And I got to tell you that there was an element of my life that was completely changed. I felt like I was walking this high off the ground. Here's the problem. You will eventually touch the ground. That euphoric high goes away and you find yourself with the same thoughts, with the same issues, with the same problems, and you're thinking, wait a second, what about that fairy godmother that poofed everything different? And I want to tell you that's when I understood that my spirit was reborn. Work that needed to be done in my life, and I thank God that he was patient enough to do that. Get over yourself was the words that God had given me after I went from strangers to married in 8 weeks. I was doing all the right things. I was in ministry. I knew exactly when to say amen when my husband preached. I knew exactly the scriptures to quote to somebody that came to an altar that had an issue. I knew all the right stuff, but things weren't right in my life. And I would leave church service and I would go home and I'd say, God, what's wrong with me? I'm not perfect yet. I don't have it all together. I need help. And what he spoke to my heart 4 mornings in a row was my boss, Tommy, from 14 years prior. You see, there was a day that I went in to be Cinderella. I had had a bulimic fit all night. ready to take my life, and I woke up on a hard, cold bathroom floor. And the irony was, I was supposed to go be Cinderella that morning. So I got up off of the floor, and I didn't have any more sick days, so I went into work. And Tommy was my boss. And his job was to make sure that everybody was there and that we were working, and we were working well with our Japanese coworkers. So I got into work that day, and Tommy was there, and this is what happened. It's in the book, and there's a reason, get over yourself, and there's also a reason why there's seven steps. I walked into work that day, and I didn't look good. The Bible says that your sin will find you out. I now know what that means. Because what it also means is, other than it being told out to the world, it means that it begins to manifest in your life. My eating disorder and my emptiness on the inside showed upon my face. My skin was dull. My countenance was wrong. Are you with me? You know when something's not right. Tommy knew. And Tommy grabbed my arm and he spun me around and he looked at me and he said, "What's going on with you?" I said, "Nothing, Tommy, I'm fine." I tried to walk away from Tommy and go to my vanity and get ready that morning, but he spun my arm around again and he got up in my face. He said, "You're not okay. Tell me what's going on with you." And before I knew it, I exploded on my boss and everything that was inside came out, and I looked at him and I said, "I don't feel like doing this today, Tommy. I don't feel like a princess. I don't feel like being here, okay?" And then I realized I just exploded on my boss. So knowing that men don't like to be cried on, I bowed my head and I just thought to myself, maybe he'll just let me go home. And as I bowed my head right in front of him, I thought what I would get, ladies, was an arm wrapped around my shoulder that said, "Girl, just go home. You don't belong here." I didn't get that. I got some tough love. I finally picked up my head, looked Tommy in the eyes. And these are the words that Tommy spoke. He looked me dead in the face and he said, "Whoever asked you to feel? You were chosen to be a princess. Now go, wash your face, get a new attitude, go put on your clothes, and go be Cinderella, because nobody ever asked you to feel anything." So I did exactly that, wanting to keep my job, and I went into the bathroom, and I got to tell you that that day I did get back to work, and I can't really tell you how that day ended. But it wasn't until 14 years later when I'm a minister of the gospel, and I am crying out to God, "God, I'm saved. Everything is right in my life, but everything is wrong inside. I'm still wrestling in eating disorder. I'm still having outrageous attacks against my husband." How many of you realize it is your loved ones that you are hardest on and that you take your anger out on the most? And here I am, a minister of the gospel, doing all the right things, and I'm at home tearing my husband apart, and he's walking on eggshells constantly. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. If there were men here, they'd be saying amen quietly under their breath, because they're smart enough to know they don't want to sleep in the other room tonight. But I've got to tell you that when Tommy spoke those words to me and I was crying out to God 14 years later, he gave Tommy's words to me as my answer. I said, "God, I'm asking you to help me to be a better minister, a better mother, a better wife, a better everything. What does Tommy have to do with this?" Hadn't heard that man's voice in 14 years. What does he have to do with anything? And God spoke to me, and he said, "It's time to get over yourself." And what he said to me was Tommy's words, and he said, "Take them step by step. That is your journey to freedom, if you're ready." He said, "Whoever asked you to feel," it's the difference between faith and feelings. He had to teach that to me quickly. You see, there are times you don't feel saved. There are times you don't feel like being the wife that God called you to be, because you are not being appreciated right. You are not being... Okay, we'll just leave that one there. Because in a room full of women, we can get heated quickly. Because what you focus on the longest will become strongest, and something happens and we go, not a good place. Whoever asked you to feel, God had to speak to me, and he said, "I called you to be a princess. I didn't ask you to feel it. I asked you to do it." There's a difference between faith and feelings. So he spoke to me about the difference between faith and feelings. And then he went on to say, "You are chosen." What does that actually mean? Then he went on and he said, "Go." And I said, "God, go where?" And he said, "Go back." He said, "Sometimes you have to go back before you can ever go forward." And I'm here today to tell some woman that you've got to go back before you keep trying to go forward. There are some gaping wounds in your life that you are coping with, but you've not dealt with them properly. And they're manifesting and showing themselves in your life all over the place. And I've got to tell you, God says go back before you try to go forward. Deal with some things in your life and get healing so that you can go into a broken world and offer them wholeness, because we can't go out into a broken world broken. That's not what we're called to do. Amen? Amen. So, amen. We have to do that. So we have to go back. And then the next thing is to wash your face. Listen, this may not be the message you want to hear right now. But the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 that there is a time for everything. And it says that there is a time for mourning and there is a time for dancing. And you cannot have one without the other. And if you're here today and you're trying to dance your way through life, you may have to go back and you may have to mourn something out first. It's okay to feel. The difference between faith and feelings, what I mean is it's okay to have an emotion as long as emotions don't have you. Too often times we're told we're in the Lord now, just get up over it. And somebody in here is saying, yeah, but I'm hurting. Yeah, but I was just served papers. And my life was right and now it's wrong. And somebody gets in your face and tells you you're in the Lord now and just get up over it. And it may not be time for you to get up over it just yet. There may be that period of darkness that God shows himself a marvelous light in your life. And don't deny him. Don't deny him that dark period of your life, because most of the time it's where God shows himself the best. So this book is literally a journey. And that is not all advertisement for the book. That was ministry as well. Because I want you to know that when you're done with all of that, you're going to get to the end of this book. My heart is that you would get to the end and you would understand that God could take the pain of your life and he could turn it into a purpose. That you see, most of you, and as I was, looking for a purpose in life, and I've got to tell you, a lot of you are looking for a purpose and you don't understand that your purpose is going to come from the place of your greatest pain. You see, if you look in the Word of God, and I'll just do this quickly, the one thing that God used to set my life completely free was a scripture. You see, I came to the Lord and I said, God, show me. And he walked me through those 7 steps of deliverance. He walked me through those areas where I went back and I identified some holes in my heart that needed to be healed up. And then I mourned over those suckers and I mourned over it big time. I went through the denial and the anger and the guilt and the weeping. I went through all those things and I finally gave it to God. And I said, Lord, I can't rewind time. I can't do it over, but I can use it for your glory. And I got to that place finally, and I began to renew my mind and change my thinking. And I began to be able to stand on my own 2 feet and have a faith that was strong enough to where when that next wind came, I wasn't blown over. And he brought me, and I said, God, I've done all of this, but I've got to tell you, I'm looking inside, and I got no gifts for you. I can't sing. Dear God, I can't sing. Got nothing. When I look inside of myself, all I know is that there's brokenness and hurt, that there's shattered dreams, that there are mistakes that I've made. That's all I've got. I can look around at everybody and I can go, she's got a gift to do this. She's got a gift to, have you ever done that? They've got a gift to do this. And then you go, where's my gift? And that's what I said. I said, God, I've got nothing. And God said, what's in there? I said, pain. Shame, hurt, regret. He said, sometimes the greatest gifts in your life are the ones you call ugly. He brought me to Hebrews 2 and 9 and 2 and 18, and I want you to write that down because I'm ministering to somebody tonight. I told my story, but I told your story in the midst of it. That you got it all together on the outside, but on the inside you're wasting away, you're empty, and you don't know how to make it better. You see a lot of your leadership who have got it all together on the outside and on the inside, it seems. And you're looking at it saying, at what point will it just poof me different? Not only do you walk through those steps, but I'm talking to some people that don't have a pretty gift. Somebody in here has a gift that God wants to use, and let me tell you what it is. Go to Hebrews 2 and 9. These two scriptures changed my life. This is what it said. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor. Listen to these words. Because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Let me tell you this, the words that I didn't understand. It says, by the grace of God, he tasted death. And I went, huh? Isn't grace that big, nice, poofy cloud that just comes along and just puts you in a better place? That's what I thought grace was. And I said, God, by the grace of God, you tasted death. And he said, Jennifer, it is by the grace of God that you've suffered what you've suffered. It is by the grace of God, because when you taste death in this life, you're tasting it for somebody else's life. When you walk through death in your life, you walk through periods where it feels like you are dying inside. When you're going through a divorce that you just don't feel like you can ever make it out of. When you are sitting here today so wounded by that abuse that happened 30 and 40 years ago. When you are sitting here today saying, yeah, but you don't know what my life is behind closed doors. When you are walking through a financial death in your life, and no matter how much you give, it just doesn't seem like it ever comes back. When you are walking through a period of death in your life and you say, I've got nothing, God says, that's your gift. That's your gift. If you'd hang on to my unchanging hand and you'd walk through it, I will send you back to those who have suffered the way you've suffered. You see, the greatest person to ever minister to a rape victim is someone's been raped. Come on, the greatest person to ever minister to an alcoholic is somebody that's been an alcoholic. There's somebody that is the greatest person to ever minister to somebody that doesn't have it all together is somebody that doesn't have it all together. You see, I don't know about you, but reality TV is as big as it is because people are interested in people. And the next scripture right here is this. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is now able to aid those who were tempted. I don't know, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever been tempted in your life? How many of you have that shame that comes upon you that says, you're not a Christian, you've been tempted that way? Let me tell you that there are people out there that need to know that you have suffered. There are people out there that need to know that you don't have it all together all the time. There are some of you today that I want to speak this and then I've got to close. But for some of you, the greatest gift that you've been searching for, oh God, show me how I could be used at Lakewood. Oh God, show me how I could be used in this life. I've got to tell you that if you're looking for purpose, here's a clue. Go back to the place of your greatest pain and allow God to take that big gaping wound and heal it up from the inside properly. Don't fake it. Don't cope through it. You have